It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as our most recent podcasts and our most recent op-eds. And then they go over to the website and are there. So you can always go back and find those. And you can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. And to each of you listeners, thank you for listening. Each of you, you're treasured, you're valued, you have purpose, live with intention, strive for excellence, and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. I always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Producer Steve, how are you?
I'm sorry, he's not here today.
Well, there's somebody back there behind the glass, so that's a good thing. In studio with me is Hal Van Herke, and you know him. He is an entrepreneur. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is a valued partner. All my partners are valued, but with Castlegate Knife and Tool. And he's a small business owner and a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Hal, it is great to have you in studio.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I always like to remind people that I'm definitely not a morning person. I was driving into the studio this morning and Taco Bell was closed. I'm like, Taco Bell's never closed in my life. I mean, what kind of dystopian future are we living in already here?
I know, but it's great to have you once a month in studio. So thank you for making that happen.
Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. We're going to be talking about small businesses. Also, in the second segment, Hal, I'd like to go through Joe Biden's inaugural speech. And Hal, what I'm realizing, going back to our ballots, a few years ago, I started to do a voter's guide and look at the each of the issues that would be on the ballot and look at them as, is this the American idea? Does this uphold the individual or does it make government bigger? And really would dissect that and make recommendations upon that. And realized that if I'm going to make a decision about something, I should probably read it and actually really know what was going on. And so I thought it was important that we go through Joe Biden's speech, and we can do that in the second segment. So instead of listening to all the sound bites and engaging in social media on whatever, read it yourself so you know what he really said.
What he really said. And I think in addition to that, I pulled off the 17 things that he actually did on his first day, so his executive orders. It's one thing, especially when you're dealing with politicians, to listen to what they actually said, but it's another thing to see what they actually do. And the balance that you just said about individual freedom or growing government, I'm pretty sure that 17 out of 17 of these are just going to grow our growing government. I'm not sure, at least 15 out of 17, you know, and our lives are going to get a lot more expensive here in a hurry. It's there was no holding back on an assault on the economy in the first day.
I know. Another thing that one of the executive orders was that there would be mandatory mask wearing on all federal lands. I'm kind of like, that's dumb, because there's a lot of federal lands where you would be by yourself. So why would he do an executive order like that? And secondly, if you do it, if you're hiking in Rocky Mountain National Park and are by yourself and wearing a mask, that's dumb.
Yeah, that one struck me as particularly, you know, political posturing. You could throw that down there and it's something that's going to have virtually no impact. I do think that one also included all federal buildings, but they were doing that already too.
Right.
We're also going to have a 100-day mask awareness program or something, as if we could hear anything more about wearing masks. And that, I mean, how many masks can you wear at the same time? You know, so I don't know. Well, you know, we still obviously have serious COVID problems I know more people right now with COVID than I have in during this entire thing that have actively got it right now. But
it's a cousin of the common cold.
Yeah, I just don't think that, you know, forcing everybody to wear masks obviously has not...
It hasn't worked.
And it's pretty obvious the type of masks everybody's wearing these days were not designed to do anything. And so everybody just has conveniently forgotten that. But there's a lot of convenient forgetting about in this whole... I'm looking at the volumes of research that we have laid out on the desk here. But, you know, it's all looking at what the Democrats have said in the last 48 hours. And there's a lot of convenient forgetting of facts, history, common sense. There's a lot.
I like that. I need to remember that. Convenient forgetting. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be talking about that in just a minute. We'll talk with Karen Levine in this segment, find out what she thinks is going to happen regarding the housing market. You know her. She's an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. We'll talk with Senior VP of Presidential Wealth Management, Jason McBride, at the bottom of the hour. But let's go ahead and jump into some of these things. As you know, my friends, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And if something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And so our quote for today, I went to Confucius. I've been looking for determination and perseverance quotes, Hal, and lots of different things come up. And Confucius was a Chinese philosopher and politician of the Spring and Autumn period who was traditionally considered a paragon of Chinese sages. The philosophy of Confucius, also known as Confucianism, this is early in the morning for me to do that many times, emphasized personal and governmental morality, correctness of social relationships, justice, kindness, and sincerity. And it was part of the Chinese social fabric and a way of life. To Confucians, everyday life was in the arena of religion. He was born in 551 BC. He died in 479 BC. And I just wanted to go back to that term there, governmental morality. And I think that one of the things that most people could agree on, that stealing is not moral. Would you say that, Hal?
Yeah, I think that's overwhelmingly evident in most world religions and anybody's personal value systems.
Right.
And that's a pretty basic.
It's a pretty basic thing. And so I talk about it quite often that it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, or livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. So here we go back to Confucius, born 551 BC, and even there he's talking about governmental morality, which would mean that the government should not be stealing from one person to give to another. But this is what Confucius said. He said, keep it simple and focus on what matters. Don't let yourself be overwhelmed. Hal, I think that for right now, I think a lot of people feel very overwhelmed. I think there's great concern for America and the survival of the American idea. And so again, Confucius said, keep it simple, focus on what matters, and don't let yourself be overwhelmed. What's your thoughts, Hal?
Yeah, I think that for a lot of conservatives right now, you know, depression comes to mind. I think there's a lot of people suffering with, you know, some degrees of depression over this lack of motivation, energy, whatever. I know that's producer Steve was saying he's feeling bogged down by the whole thing. And I feel kind of like just like weighed down by the whole thing. But I think that you just, you know, one of the things that I've noticed for people who are already, you know, the leaders who are already starting to come out of this, the people who naturally lead into things and don't shy back are already saying, let's get to work. You know, so let's get to work into building a country that we want to have, and if that means going all the way back to the fundamentals of teaching our youth traditional American values, valuing freedom, because you're talking about freedom versus force. If we have to go all the way back to that, and let's do it. And if we have to build an entire economy within an economy that values freedom and rejects censorship and is avowed to protect the Bill of Rights because our government's not, you know, then let's build an economy within an economy. Let's, you know, not to sound like I'm trying to push division, but if we have to, let's build a country within a country till we can get the country we want back. You know, so I think there's a lot of people that are already back to work. I saw articles yesterday about what Senate races the Republicans need to win in 2 years to take back the Senate. You know, so there are people who are thinking about, okay, well, it's time to get back to, you know, roll up our sleeves and get back to work.
After all the backstabbing that has occurred during the past few weeks, I've said to Steve, the great thing about this is the veil is off. And we need to make sure that we are electing conservatives. I've heard that the Republicans think we need to elect Republicans. No, we need to elect conservatives. And what does conservative mean? Conservative means conserving the idea that all men are created equal and with rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And I know somebody that really likes those kinds of principles, and that is Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim and Hal.
Good morning.
Okay, a lot's happened since the last time we talked, Karen. What are you seeing with this Biden-Harris administration and housing? Because you and I both have such a regard for private property rights, and home ownership is a great way for people to create wealth. Is it too soon to make any comments on that, Karen, or what do you see?
I would say, Kim, that it's too soon to make any comments from the standpoint that I don't think anything that's happened since the election and then since the inauguration yesterday has particularly affected housing. What's affected housing has been change in policy, and you and I have been talking about public policy and the effects on housing and decisions that have been made over the last decade. Are hurting home ownership because we are suffering from a severe lack of inventory, not just in Colorado, not just in the Front Range, but nationwide. And the question is, why is that? Why has the nation not been building entry-level housing, i.e. condominium housing, which is a great way for our first-time home buyers to become homeowners and to grow wealth and then to move into a single-family residence. And my business partner this past week made the comment that after the recession, the home builders didn't get the memo they were supposed to get back to work. But I believe they maybe did get the memo, but they had been so scorned through the recession, they were fearful. And then public policy with regards to fees and taxation and developing land costs, et cetera, were so astronomical that they didn't know how to position themselves in a market that was just coming back.
Well, I think you really hit the nail on the head, and that is that public policy is what has really driven this lack of supply in housing, and we need to get that change. I was talking over Christmas time with a number of young people. They've all been cooped up in an apartment during this whole coronavirus thing. They all said they would love to have their own home. And to be cooped up in an apartment and not be able to get out and go out and have a beer with your friends after work or whatever, they said, I would love to have a home and a backyard. So, Karen, we now understand that public policy has really affected that. So, as Hal said, people are rolling up their sleeves and going to work. And I know that that's something that you do because you are a representative on the National Board of Realtors.
I am. I sit on the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors. And obviously, we're always looking at protecting private property rights. And it'll be interesting to see in our legislative meetings, which will be in May. They will be virtual meetings, they announced, but it'll be interesting discussions. And I've chosen to not remain silent and to bring to the forefront that we have gotten ourselves in quite a mess if we want home ownership to be the American dream and we don't have any houses to sell.
Yes, that is certainly a problem, Hal, huh?
Yeah, I'm thinking, this is hitting home right now on a couple of levels for me. It's just, usually I own a house I don't plan for moving from, so usually when the real estate topic comes up, I kind of tune out. But this is hitting home. I've got two daughters in college right now. They're both renting. One of them is going to probably be special needs for the rest of her life and is going to be depending on us somewhat. So we're thinking, why are we having her rent when she's going to be, you know, we should be looking for some place to buy because we're paying rent for, nobody should be paying rent. You know, that's, and there isn't anything out there in the marketplace. We're looking a place for her. We even thought, well, maybe you'll get a place for both of the daughters to live for a few years so they can get started. And there's, at least in the southern part of Denver metro area where we live, Douglas County, there's nothing out there in terms of starter homes, condos, townhomes that you can buy. The ones that are out there are, you know, mid-400s to start off with, you know, just to put a number on it. And that doesn't, you know, most young people don't consider that to be a starter home, right? That's not what we're talking about. So I definitely, that's a problem. The other one that's making me realize that I'm, again, living in Castle Rock, we've got a lot of development going on. And the overwhelming amount of development that's going on, if you look at like in the I-25 corridor from Lone Tree on down and into Castle Rock, is high-density housing, but it's all apartment units owned by real estate investment trusts and major corporations and major real estate funds. And they're not building anything that you can actually own. They're building things that you're going to be a lifetime renter if you go down that path, and continuing to make it higher end, more luxury, more, you know, more, if, you know, so that you can pay rent your whole life. And I think that's a fundamental problem that we have right now with the economy and the way we're structuring things, is that we have an entire generation of people right now who are at risk of being renters for life. And that is, that's taking away the number one avenue to personal wealth and freedom that people have had historically in this country.
Karen, your thoughts?
Well, I think Hal has hit a lot of very important points. And the biggest point, which you and I continue to have this conversation, is cities, municipalities continue to incentivize these building of luxury apartments along the transportation corridors and not ownership units. And I believe that he who controls ownership controls our pocketbooks. And so when we are renters, we don't have that ability to build wealth, and we don't have that ability to build independence, and we become dependent on this big government. So I hope that our listeners hear what we're saying and help in our fight to regain the ability to be homeowners and to start seeing more development that is ownership-based. And anytime I have an opportunity to speak in settings with our elected officials, my first question is, hey, your residential or your housing overview did not include any ownership units. Well, what's going on here? And they kind of are taken back. And that's scary to me that they're not thinking about this.
Karen Levine, you are such a champion for private property rights and for home ownership, and I thank you. And what the things that you're describing, those are volunteer things that you do because you care. And if people are going to buy or sell their home, I know a number of people that are leaving Colorado. If you are deciding to relocate, talk to Karen Levine. She is great. Your negotiating skills are bar none. And also, if you're looking at a new build, as Hal mentioned, down in the southern quarter, there's quite a bit of new build. Give Karen a call and have her accompany you to that first meeting to have her on your side of the table. And Karen Levine, you're going to be in studio on Monday. I'm excited about that, and we'll talk about housing more.
That sounds like a great idea, and I'm appreciating the conversation you and Hal are having today, so I'll let you get back to it.
Sounds great. And Karen's number is 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Hal Van Herky with Castlegate Knife and Tool is in studio. We're going to go through Biden's inaugural speech and then also talk about small business, so stay tuned.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me, well, before I get to that, another great part of mine is Hooters Restaurants, and was just going through, they have these great lunch specials, and I love their fish and chips. So it's $10 for their fish and chips, or you could get a buffalo chicken sandwich with curly fries, or a Western burger with curly fries. But lunch specials are available for dine-in or to-go, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They have all kinds of specials. Kids eat free, happy hour, whole bunch of different things. And so check out HootersColorado.com for more information. That's HootersColorado.com. And we really need to support these local businesses. And if you take a look at to all of my sponsors that are on my website, when you're deciding whether or not to go out for dinner or buy a new knife or whatever it is, buy a new house, be sure and use the sponsors that I have, because they are a big reason why I am able to stay on the air. So speaking of that, Hal Van Herkey, Castlegate Knife and Tool, how's the new website going?
Our website's doing great. We got it up and running. Everything is looking good. We hired a full-time person to help us manage it and continue to keep it fresh and the inventory accurate. So we finally, it took us, you know, as we've talked about on the show before, it took our little family business a year to get that done, to get everything where everything aligned in our store was aligned on the website on an instantaneous mm-hmm. basis and get the inventory done. And we spent 4 days inventorying knives. It took four people 4 days to count all the knives we have in the store. So that kind of gives you an idea how extensive our inventory is and selection in there. But the website reflects what we've got on a minute-by-minute basis, and our sales are growing on the website. They're growing in the store. We had our best year ever last year. January is already 50% up over what January last year was. So we're looking at least so far, starting off with a good year. And we're adding more services and doing more things. We recently purchased, it's not all together yet, but we're thinking mid-February we'll be offering sharpening services for just about anything that has a sharp edge on it, ranging from knives, kitchen knives, serrated knives, lawnmower blades, axes,
really?
Tools,
all that,
and
huh?
even purchasing a specific machine to sharpen scissors for people who use them professionally, like seamstresses and
hair.
Yep. If you don't want to mess up somebody who uses scissors for a living, you don't want to mess up their scissors.
No.
So we're buying a very expensive machine specifically for scissors. And so we're going to be offering sharpening services, and that's something people have been asking for years, but it's a big investment, and it's more of a courtesy than it is a revenue uh-huh. maker. But we've got that done, and I guess really big news is that we filed all the paperwork to apply for a federal firearms license. We're going to start selling custom-built rifles that are built in Elizabeth, Colorado. We're going to start representing them, and we're going to start selling firearms in our store. We have a gun room where you can sit. We have a room where you can sit down and customize your rifle your way, order it exactly the way you want it, have it delivered a week or two later.
Awesome.
And so.
And when's that going to happen?
We're going to start having rifles coming in under the manufacturer's FFL starting next week. People can set up appointments with me now to put their order in and get in the queue.
Okay.
And so we'll have rifles start coming into the store next week. If you ordered something today and it was all custom, you would get it the first or second Tuesday of February.
Okay. What about ammunition?
Ammunition. We'll have ammunition in for the calibers and for the rifles that we're selling, so people can leave with some ammunition for their new rifle. Right now, we're just doing AR-15 platform-based rifles.
Okay.
And multiple different calibers and barrel lengths and stuff, but that's where we're starting. So we will have ammunition for that
okay.
for the new customers. But in terms of just coming in to buy ammunition, not at this point yet, because the market's still too tight to make it worth our time to chase.
Right.
It's harder to chase it on the wholesale level than it is to chase it in the retail level.
Wow.
So it's very time consuming. But that's a big change for us.
Now, will that be on the website?
That'll be on a separate website. I mean, we'll make announcements on that on the website, but in terms of transaction and stuff, that'll be separate because we just seem to get penalized left and right. I mean, it's very difficult. I mean, the amount of work you have to go through to start a firearms business in this country anymore. We have a bank relationship that we've been at the same bank for 17 years. They're still having to hem and haw over whether they want to let us open up an account for that. I had to go to the largest insurance agency in the United States called Lockton and get underwritten by Lloyd's of London in order to get insurance for the store because the normal insurance companies that you would have heard of don't want to touch firearms businesses anymore. There's just a behind-the-scenes oligarchy of people trying to make it impossible to do that business, but we've been wading through it, and I feel like, you know, we've gotten some pretty good partners so far. The bank is going to step up. We've already got one if they don't. But we ended up with the largest insurance agency in the United States, which is Lockton Industries, and we ended up with Lloyd's of London as our underwriter, which is a pretty big name.
Here you are, just this little business, in Sedalia, Colorado.
It was a little tiny I was thinking about that last night. We're this tiny little store in Sedalia, Colorado. If you're not careful, you blink, you drive right by it, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're having to go to these extremes to protect our Second Amendment rights and to defend the Bill of Rights, which is a quaint notion these days, apparently.
Apparently it is. Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. What do you think about this?
It doesn't sound surprising to me how difficult they will make it for you to do business if you have anything to do with firearms. So I'm not surprised at the challenges Hal is having to face to get that up and running.
And, you know, actually, between men and women, a firearm is the great equalizer. If the girl has a firearm, it's a great equalizer when a bad guy might be trying to attack or something. And I just find it astonishing that that we have politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties that are trying to stand in the way of women protecting themselves. I don't like that, Jason. But let's move over to the futures. What are they doing after the inauguration?
Well, the futures this morning are up about 54 points on the Dow, so nothing huge. Yesterday was a pretty decent day for the markets. Dow was up about 250. That's about 0.8%. Now, NASDAQ had a very good day. That was up 260, which is almost 2%, as a lot of your big tech stocks came back into favor and did very, very well yesterday. All of the FANG stocks, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google, all performed very, very well. Again, I'm struggling to understand where people are concerned about the tech sector with the administration we have coming in that should be extremely friendly to them, as of course big tech is a big part of the reason that Big Joe got his new big job.
All the different names that you just mentioned seem to be the censorship companies, and so you said that they did well yesterday. Jason McBride, you are such a valued partner of the show. If people, they need to sit down and take a look at their plans. Clearly, I think there's going to be inflation coming down the pike here. So it makes sense to sit down with you and see if they need to make any adjustments. And people can reach you. How, Jason McBride?
Very easy. Give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600, or just check us out on the web at presidentialwm.com.
Jason McBride, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Hal, let's go through Biden's inaugural address. I think that would be very important for our listeners.
Yeah, looking at it again, and I'm seeing two major themes coming out of this thing from beginning to end, so we'll talk about that when we
return.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. My friends, I was at church a couple of weeks ago, and somebody said that we need to remember that in our world, that God is sovereign, and he either allows things to happen or causes things to happen. But what that does mean for each of us as we live our lives is to keep our eye on him and also roll up our sleeves, as Hal Van Herkey said, that people are rolling up their sleeves and we're going to go back to work. Because this constitutional republic that has been given to us, we have a responsibility to preserve it and pass it on to the next generation, no matter what descriptor they have or how they describe themselves. Hal Van Herkey, Castlegate Knife and Tool, that's castlegate.com. It's great to have you in studio. And I wanted to go through Joe Biden's inaugural address, and you've taken a look at it. You said before we went to break that there were two major themes that you saw in this. What are they?
Yeah, well, it's not what I was expecting, and I'll be honest, I didn't listen to him yesterday. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And usually these inauguration addresses are pretty lightweight on any type of specifics or anything, and I just didn't want to listen to all the framing mm-hmm. of whatever's going to go on. But two things that jumped out in the transcripts to me as I'm going through it, and part of it's like you highlighted a lot in your notes as well, is on one hand it's that democracy, democracy, democracy. And I know that part of that is because he's feeling relieved that he believes that the constitutional process has prevailed and the, quote, democratic process has prevailed and the anti-democratic processes that Trump was trying to blah, 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 didn't come through. I think that he is trying to reinforce that he was the democratically elected, legitimate president. But there's a more cynical thing going on with the Democratic Republic, with the party, when they constantly say democracy, 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 is that first of all, as we know, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. We're a constitutional republic that has democratic processes within it, but that we're not a democracy by any means, and that's a significant difference. Democracy, in short, means mob rule, rule of the majority over the minority. And in the position that they see themselves in demographically, statistically, these days, they feel like that, that's an opportunity for them to drive that home, that the majority should be getting their way, regardless of where they live, and that the national popular vote is more important than the vote by state, and that, the federal government's power should be greater than the state's power, because the reason why we're a republic is to delegate powers to the states. And so all of that use of word democracy versus republic is not accidental. It's really a way of trying to, again, continue to influence people's minds and to brainwash them into thinking the way the Democratic Party wants them to think, which is this huge, giant federal power that will do and administer everything.
And I find it so interesting, Hal, as I went through this, I think he might have referenced republic once, which that is what we are, as you said, a constitutional republic. And I think he might have referenced the Constitution once as well. But he had platitudes, words that people like. But my friends, we have a responsibility now with ourselves and with our family and with our friends, is we've got to move past the platitudes. So in his initial paragraph, he said, "This is a day of history, hope, renewal, and resolve. Through a crucible for the ages, America has been tested anew, and America has risen to the challenge." He basically said nothing. there, but said words that people like: history, hope, renewal, and resolve. And then the next paragraph, he uses the word democracy 4 times. And my friends, we are a constitutional republic. You would think that the president of the United States would know that, and particularly since he's been in Washington for 47 years, you think he might know that we are a constitutional republic and not a democracy.
It's pretty clear that the progressive left in this country has been waging a war on words for a long time, and they keep trying to shove new words into the vocabulary that force you into thinking on their playing field. Because if you can control the language, you control the thought processes, mm-hmm. or at least the way you can express yourself in those mm-hmm. thought processes. And they also have this really nasty habit of trying to take words that meant one thing and turn them into meaning something mm-hmm. else. But every time you hear the word democracy out of a politician's mouth, you know that they're not. It's not just a slip of the tongue. This is an agenda, mm-hmm. and again, that agenda is rule by the majority over the minority, and it's strong federal government with unfettered ability to do whatever it wants to do. That's what democracy means to Joe Biden.
And the American people showed up on Election Day. And in fact, next week we'll have John Eastman on the show, who has been on Trump's legal team. He came in late on that. I know that a lot of people are very frustrated with the legal team. Although it's been so interesting. The veil has really come off on who all these different people are. And I'm just kind of shocked at Republicans. And I've also been shocked at people that, quote unquote, I think were never Trumpers. I have always appreciated President Trump because of his policies. I know that his personality, some people maybe they didn't like that so much. I actually used to go back to New York 4 times a year. And I really appreciate the New York personality. So I always thought that he was kind of funny. But as I've looked at this, how I mentioned to you that I had printed off the Trump accomplishments for 4 years, what he did. It's
voluminous.
It's
a big document.
And yesterday I mentioned, I thought I'd go through these. First of all, he said an unprecedented economic boom. And Maggie Thatcher said, you cannot have political freedom if you don't have economic freedom, or you must have economic freedom to have political freedom. And so yesterday I went through a number of things, but his second bullet point here, he says he delivered a future of greater promise and opportunity for citizens of all backgrounds. He said unemployment rates for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, Native Americans, veterans, individuals with disabilities, and those without a high school diploma all reached record lows. Sounds pretty good to me. Unemployment for women hit its lowest rate in 70 years. Lifted nearly 7 million people off of food stamps. Poverty rates for African Americans and Hispanic Americans reached record lows. This was all before the coronavirus. Income inequality fell for 2 straight years and by the largest amount in over a decade. The bottom 50% of American households saw a 40% increase in net worth. Wages rose fastest for low-income and blue-collar workers, a 16% pay increase. And African-American home ownership increased from 41.7% to 46.4%. I, for the life of me, cannot understand why every American wouldn't want to make sure that continued. I find it impressive.
Yeah, impressive track record, a lot of accomplishments. A lot of accomplishments on the global stage as well in terms of treaties and new relationships, no new wars. I mean, that's amazing. That is amazing if you think back to where it was when he entered office.
But they said he was the guy that was going to get us into World War III.
Yeah. And the only reason, so when you read through that, and if you read through that objectively, and you say, how is it possible that he was not reelected? And you can only come down to two things, and one is his personality. Which some people didn't appreciate, but I think the bigger impact by far is the media. I mean, the media was just assaulting him 24/7 from way before he took the oath of office, and it was relentless, it was ruthless, It was never ending, and it was mostly based on a stack of lies that were propped up by likes of Adam Schiff and others throughout, you know, with the fake Russian collusion thing for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And it's just he couldn't catch a break. And every time he would, you know, sign a major treaty that would, you know, if it had been a Democratic president that had done that, they'd talk about for 2 weeks, never get mentioned. Every time he did something, you know, positive, no mention, right. No mention. If it was mentioned, just to check the box off, it was a 15-second conversation and back on the attack. Mm-hmm. I mean, for 4 solid years, nonstop. So that's what the average person in America that doesn't have time to spend all this time looking at the details in politics because they have a job or two and they have the things to take care of within their life, then they take a few moments to try to figure out what's going on. They go to the media and this is what they get, 24/7 attack on the president. And I think that overwhelmingly, when you look at what he accomplished and the impact it had on the people who we all agree matter the most in terms of trying to raise people up out of poverty, helping the life, the actual life, not the rhetoric, but the actual life of minority and disadvantaged communities. Mm-hmm. He had a huge impact on that, but he was given zero credit for it.
Zero credit. And to your point of no new wars, basically with no new wars, the military-industrial complex didn't like that either. And I tell you what, I value our veterans. That's why I do the Veterans Show. And you're also a sponsor of that as well. I should make a plug for that because it is this this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m., and we will be talking with World War II Marine veteran, fought at the Battle of Iwo Jima, Don Whipple. You won't want to miss that.
That's
so
going
thank
to be
you.
Amazing.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you for that as well. But no new wars. And Donald Trump was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize on 3 or 4 different occasions.
You don't hear much about that.
Didn't
do
hear
you?
That. No.
You know, President Obama won that by, I don't know what it was. It was a sympathy award or something. He'd only been in office for like 3 weeks mm-hmm. or something, wins mm-hmm. the Nobel Peace Prize before he even mm-hmm. had a chance to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times yeah. for actual having historic peace treaties in the Middle East and things like that, not starting any more wars, opening up dialogues with countries that we haven't talked to for years. And it just gets buried. I mean, the agenda is so thick that it's hard to not become cynical and give up.
But that's why we do this show. When you mention that people are busy, we try to pack so much in here. We search for truth and for clarity. If we get something wrong, we will clarify it. Clearly, we're sharing opinions on this. But it's important to get your brains around this. And I'd appreciate if you all would be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. But let people know about the show. It is rebroadcast every day from 1 to 2 p.m., as well as from 10 to 11 p.m. And we want to talk about small business. But there's one other point, Hal, I want to make about Biden's inaugural speech. So let's go to break. And we'll do that when we come back. Hal Van Herke with Castlegate Knife and Tool is in studio. Stay tuned.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is valued partner of both The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, which is on Sunday afternoons, 3 to 4 p.m. I brought it over here to KLZ 560 at the beginning of the year, and that's Hal Van Herkey. It's great to have you here.
Great to be here. We're talking about a lot of different things this morning.
I know. We were going to talk about small business, which is really important. However,
yeah, it's a lot of other stuff. I'm looking at the mountain of paperwork and research we have in front of us here. And it's just basically all of these are conservative stories crying to get out because there's no other way. Nobody else wants to talk about them. You know, that's what the theme of these things are here. But we're not going to get to a fraction of them today. You know,
well,
but the desk is buried here. And
it is. But another thing regarding Joe Biden's speech, it was one of basically, I think, division. He talked unity, unity, unity. But how can you unify behind someone that wants to define people by a descriptor instead of this idea that we're all created equal, the character that we each have? How can we unify behind somebody like that? What do we unify behind? I think it's this great vision of the American idea that we are have these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That seems like something we could unify behind.
Yeah, and that all men and women are created equal. The I'm almost hesitant to go into this, but I'm looking through the transcript of this, and the second thing that came out for me is just racism, racism, racism. You're going to be tired of being called a racist by the end of this administration. I can guarantee you that because it's throughout this whole thing. Anything that was wrong in the Trump's administration is because it was racist. Political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism, racism, nativism, fear, demonization, you know, just on and on and on throughout this entire thing. Anything that went wrong in the last 4 years was because you're racist, and anything that might possibly go wrong during his administration is because you're racist. It's just staggering that this is how he decided to open up a speech that he's also trying to call for unity.
Right.
So it's mind-boggling when you see it written out this way.
And it seems we just went through some of Trump's accomplishments. And again, let's just let you hear this. Unemployment rates for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, Native Americans, veterans, individuals with disabilities, and those without a high school diploma all reached record lows. Also, African-American home ownership increased from 41.7% to 46.4%. If that's racism, I think we'd probably want more of that, Hal.
it's amazing. I didn't listen yesterday. I just had other things more important to do in my life. But it's just weird. I'm looking at some of the quotes, and it's just every time they have a chance to plug that in there, and I'm like, why? What's the agenda that's mm-hmm. coming next behind this? And the agenda that's coming next behind this is it's the continued demonization of anybody that had anything to do with Trump. It's the demonization of anybody that has anything to do with conservative values, not just the disagreement with or the rejection of, but now we're going into full-scale demonization of, dehumanization of, so that, you know, that are the kind of precursors historically you see to, you know, governmental caused atrocities and things like that. I mean, there's an all-out assault on our freedoms, our rights, our voices. And there's the number of times that theme is snuck in here in supposedly positive ways mm-hmm. is pretty staggering. You know, there's one quote in here where he says, he quotes St. Augustine from his religion. I guess that means he's Catholic, which I keep forgetting for some reason. I'm Catholic. I just don't notice that in him. But he says that, you know, then he goes on to quote St. Augustine without quoting him. He says, what defines us is our common objects. But what Joe Biden defines as the common objects is that everybody in America wants opportunity. That's mm-hmm. good. Security. Okay.
Depending on how you describe that.
Liberty, mm-hmm. dignity, respect, honor, and yes, the truth. I'll definitely go with the truth part mm-hmm. right now.
And liberty.
Yeah, and liberty. But, you know, I always like to hear the word freedom, but that's not a good word in liberal circles these days. But, you know, I think that's true. But, you know, it's just an example of, what is he going to do to support that? You know, it all sound, you mentioned, you know, a lot of platitudes earlier. Mm-hmm. Okay, but how does that coincide with his worldview about a big government that's going to take care of you from cradle to grave and charge you for it every bit of the way?
Right.
Is that opportunity? Is when you're already killing the oil industry on day one with 17 executive orders, is that helping create opportunity? You know, I don't see that. Does that make us more secure as a nation? Not to get into it again, but does that make us more secure as a nation when you're on the payroll from the Communist Party in China? You know, it's that'll be interesting to see how we manage that security relationship over the next 4 years. So it's one thing to say these things and quote them to St. Augustine, mm-hmm. and it's another to actually live them and do them and understand or even understand what they mean.
Well, he has been in Washington, D.C. for 47 years. And as producer Steve said when we did our pre-call that Joe Biden said that he was ready to get to work for the American people. It's like, well, what the heck has he been doing for the last 47 years? And how is it? Somebody said, and we've all heard this, that I'm more interested in how a politician has become a multimillionaire than how a billionaire became a politician. How did that happen? But I want to connect one other dot, because in the third paragraph, you can see that he's setting this up for the impeachment of Donald Trump. He says, so now on this hallowed ground where just a few days ago violence sought to shake the Capitol's very foundation, we come together as one nation under God, indivisible, to carry out the peaceful transfer of power as we have for two centuries. Okay, first of all, I had an eyewitness on last Friday who was at the rally and then did go down to the Capitol. And she said it was really interesting, first of all, that there were only 8 Capitol police that were there in this just kind of these little fences and they moved them. Is that not a stark difference for what we saw when you looked at the pictures of the inauguration fences? And within a week, they had, 30,000 National Guard troops in the Capitol. If you were taking such a historic vote, if you're doing something so historical, it seems like you would make sure that you had plenty of security there. And then the eyewitness said that it was very interesting at the Capitol. There were a number of young people. They were dressed in black. They had gas masks, milk to mitigate tear gas, and helmets and thick sticks that were used to break windows. And she said, I've never seen anybody take that stuff to a Trump rally. So, my friends, you need to ask what happened. But when they mentioned the word violence, I pulled this piece up. This is by Joy Pullman from The Federalist, September 16th of 2020. And she says, contrary to corporate media narratives, up to 95% of this summer's riots are linked to Black Lives Matter activism, according to data collected by the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project. The data also show that nearly 6%, or more than 1 in 20, of the U.S. protests between May 26th and September 5th involved rioting, looting, and similar violence, including 47 fatalities. They estimate that the damage from these riots was $1.2 billion. And it says of the 633 incidents coded as riots, 88% are recorded as involving Black Lives Matter activists. And it says BLM activists were involved in 95% of the riots for which there is information about the perpetrator's affiliation. 47 fatalities, Hal, $1.2 billion. And the other dot to connect here is because I went online and did it. If you went to Black Lives Matter, the website, and hit donate, it went to ActBlue, which is the big fundraising arm for the Democrat Party.
Yeah. I'd like to see the records of how much money has gone from Black Lives Matter to actually help black communities. I don't know the answer to that, but it seems like it's all going into political rhetoric and what I would consider, and based on their previous website, a foundation in Marxism for, civil unrest and cultural revolution. It doesn't seem like it's going to improve the lives of their constituents.
Yeah, they say one thing and they do another. And to your point, this speech. They say one thing, but it looks like they may do another.
Good violence versus bad violence. I mean, some violence is good and some violence is bad, according to them. I guess it's a double standard, and that's probably my number one pet peeve with my personal friends who are on the left right now is this rhetoric about good. You know, their violence is okay, but our violence is bad. I mean, you would think that there was an armed militia assault and burn down the White House. I mean, the Capitol building, the way mm-hmm. they're talking about it. Nobody was bringing weapons to take down the Capitol.
Well, and
it's been overblown. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's tragic that it happened. It's tragic we've gotten to this place. But it was overblown for political purposes, and they're going to keep using that against us every time we try to voice our ideas.
Yep. Well, for sure. So, hey, Hal Van Herke, it goes so quickly when you're here. Thanks so much for being in studio.
Thank you.
And that is CastleGate.com is that website. And our quote for today, my friends, is from Confucius. He says, tell people and they may forget, show them, they may remember, but involve them and they will understand. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, remember, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.